Hi, welcome. This is our first meeting of the Money Matrix Club. And this is the very beginning of this club, and so we'll be experimenting a little bit with the format, and I'll be, you know, happy to have your feedback and what you need and want. And we'll be continuing, like, with these sessions are the clearing sessions or the Money Matrix transformation sessions, like we had with the like we had with the Money Marathon, and just going deeper into some of these issues, and maybe exploring other fairy tale characters later to see what wisdom they can bring us. Just having a sip of water, and all of you should probably get, it'd be good to have water beside you. What I thought we would deal with a little bit today, and we can also, you're very welcome to bring your own issues here, is the thing of what we spend money on and how, and like what we're Scrooges about and what we're actually very, we might be spendthrifts about. And I have a section on the Money Matrix financial assessment where I ask you a few questions about what you find easy to spend money on and what you find it more difficult to spend money on. So that gives you an indication of what your priorities are in your spending. And I think it's really, really interesting to look at what you actually spend your money on. And I just had to do a little adjustment here. What you spend your money on and how that aligns with your values, and also what you spend your money on, which is kind of like what your parents do. So I think you may notice a lot of patterns that are very similar to your parents about what's easy to spend money on and what isn't. And I'll give you an example with me in terms of Jen and my family and what we found it easy to spend money on and when we have it, or, you know, even when we don't have it, and what we find difficult. And, for example, I would say that spending money on education, spending money on books, spending money on food, definitely, spending money on shelter are ones that come pretty easily, and usually I don't get into problems doing it. And these were the priorities of my family. My parents always traveled quite a bit when they could, and they read and they spent money on education, and so these things, and thought it was important. And so whenever I spend money on things like that, I feel okay. I don't feel guilt. I feel like, oh yeah, right, that's fine. That's totally normal. And yet there's these other things where, like clothing, where my family, like my parents, even when they were doing pretty well off, didn't really like to spend much on clothing and good clothing. And so whenever I buy something in the clothing department, it's one is that I don't spend nearly, I mean, if you look at the balance between my spending, let's say, on education or books and actually the clothing department, it's way out of whack. And so my thing is to actually work on getting my spending, you know, maybe spending a little bit less on education and more on clothing. And that's because I like good clothing, and actually I don't think I'll ever spend thousands and thousands, but I think there's part of it that buying good clothing makes me feel really good. And so if I can edge that over and start, you know, change the beliefs related to that, that's good and makes me feel more like I'm looking after myself. And there's similar things. And I may have discussed this on the Money marathon. I can't remember now. But anyway, there's other things like that. So I just want to invite you to look at what you spend money on. And I'm going to do a little questionnaire thing later where you can just make some notes. And I don't have a particular, I mean, I could go into the Scrooge. I'm debating a little bit of whether I will just go into a character or whether I'll just go into what I sometimes do in my artistic practice, which is an artist rant, where I just talk about a subject. And I think I'm going to choose for today just to do the artist rant, which I usually do in walking around a space with a live audience. So it's a little bit different, but it's a little bit like my characters that I've done so far. So I'm actually just going to go into a short improvisation about spending money. And I'll see what comes up. And whether it works, I don't know. But, you know, don't risk anything. Then it won't happen. So let me see. Let me just get into the space. Spending money. It's so hard to spend money around certain things. I just can't deal with the guilt. I can't deal with the words of my mother in my mind whenever I actually want to buy pretty clothes or makeup or put on makeup or anything like that. And I remember that she's talked about vanity. It's being vain to have nice clothes. It's not allowed. It's not allowed to have nice clothes. Or you have to buy them at the Salvation Army or the Sally Ann, as they said, or have hand-me-downs, or, well, you can get a few clothes, but you really, really have to make them practical and sensible, or maybe a party dress here and there that you hardly ever wear. But to really, really have nice clothes like of silks and cottons and sustainable, like that are made in a way that pays the workers well. Well, I don't even know how to get hold of those clothes most of the time. And when I do, they just seem too expensive. And yet, why am I able to just put $97 in a blink for an information product, where it's $97 on a nice, let's say, pair of tights or something like that? Gee, would I do that? So that's clothes. And then there are those things that I'm just a spendthrift on. It's just so hard for me to control my purse when I see something like when I go in a library, not a library, but in a bookstore, and oh my goodness, there's so many books, and I just love to get books. I just love to get books. And so I can just walk out of a bookstore, $150 just gone like that. Now, here in Mexico, I don't get a chance to do that so much because I don't see all the great English books that I like reading, and I can't say that I really like reading in Spanish yet. So why is it so hard to spend a little bit of money on clothes and not for all those other things? And what am I going to do about it? When am I going to start actually really putting it in my budget and really, really putting my commitment behind changing my money habits? When am I going to do it? Is it going to be today or tomorrow? Mañana, 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 mañana. Maybe it should be today. Okay, So that wasn't exactly a rant or whatever, but it's a start for bringing up things. And what I wanted to do now.
Yes. Ask you just to go through, and you've done this for the Money Matrix questionnaire, but we're just going to go through some different topics of what you might spend money on, and people can
bring up if I haven't brought some, if I haven't done a particular thing. And okay, so we're going to start with food. How easy is it for you to spend money on good food? Okay. And what about rent? Or mortgage. How easy is it for you to get that money together to have a nice shelter? And it doesn't have to be super luxury, but it's just something where you feel good in. And for everybody, there's different standards of what you might feel good in. So there's the rent and the mortgage, and then put beside, like, actually draw two columns. And one column you can put whether you find it easy or difficult to to spend money on it, on a level of 1 to 10 as to how easy you find it. And then in the next thing, you can actually just do another column where you put whether it's the same as
As with your parents, if there's a trend that's similar. Okay, so you've got food, rent, mortgage, and then we've got clothing, let's say books, let's say education, and that can be any kind, like it can be online, offline. And then I'm just going through this list, and I'll give you a few minutes to write it down and then later to put your response. So you can have books,
education, I guess utilities is a important one. And then travel and personal care. And that might be things like massages or things like that. Or, maybe aromatherapy oils or just different things in that category. And then what else? I guess there's gadgets, tech gadgets. and there's how easy is it for you to spend on your business as opposed to your, maybe some of the personal things. So we're going to just, you can just fill that in. And later today or in the next days, you might want to just journal about what it's easy for you to spend on and what it's difficult. And, how you feel about it, what the charge is. Oh, I'm going to also include restaurants and eating out. And then, let's say cultural events, like art things that you like. So, and then some people can add some things that I've left out, which either I'm just forgetting or maybe there's a deeper reason why I'm forgetting. Either it's not important to me or maybe it is important, but I just keep forgetting to put money there. So, here we go. So I'm going to open up the lines right now and see what people have to say in relation to this. And then after that, we might, and also, I think if you've got any other issue you want to bring to the call and that we can do clearing on. Okay? So, actually, I am going to just read a little section before I do this. A little section from the it's called The Money Drunk. It's 90 Days to Financial Freedom, and it's by Mark Byron and Julia Cameron of the Artist's Way fame. And she's talking about, she actually talks about the daily habit of counting and making sure that we track what our expenses are. And she says this, as simple as it appears, this tool yields us a remarkable degree of information and control. Counting shows us how much or how little we take care of ourselves. For many of us, life's proportions are off. We overwork and underplay. We overplay and underwork. We binge on new fashion but starve ourselves intellectually. Or we are gluttons for books but won't give ourselves a nice shirt. We throw away money on expensive dinners, but never use the cash to buy a good mattress, a decent reading chair, some new sheets. These discoveries about our misdirected spending can frighten us at first. We are often shocked by how poorly we have been treating ourselves. What we will be aiming for eventually is a healthy balance, and not just in our checkbook. By counting our expenditures, seeing where we overspend and where we cruelly skimp, money drunks often don't even have a clothing allowance, we begin to sense the balance in our lives, the balance in our relationships, the balance in our work, the balance in our creative endeavors, and the balance of our days. Writing down an impulse buy may soon abort the unnecessary ones. Wait a minute, do I really need this? We may catch ourselves thinking. But for now, just start doing it. So, and then she has another paragraph, which is, where Julia noticed that she's in her spending that she spent $184 on books, and this was a few years ago, about 20 years old, I think, this book at least. So it was even more. So good, you might think, a real intellectual. Julia saw something else. I hide in books, she discovered. I was saying I had no money to go to the theater, but the truth was I had plenty of money. All I had to do was go see a play instead of buying one to read. So I think, yeah, that book offers a lot of insights into the how we spend and how we relate to money. And that I think the things that I just read out also give you an idea of that. So I'm going to now open up the call to people to talk and mention anything that's come up for you, either from what we were just talking about and or what's coming up in your life since our big money marathon stirred everything up. Hello? Is that Trina?
I'm here. I'm thinking.
Oh, okay. I just saw a little rustling on your line.
I had turned it off speakerphone because I think it's and moved it to the other ear.
Okay. Well, then we'll wait. Hello? Okay. I'm not hearing anymore. I hope. Yeah, I'm not sure if Trina's trying to talk anymore or not because, maybe she turned. Anybody else like to say something? And Trina, if you are saying something, I'm not hearing it.
Katie?
Shelley, I'm not hearing you either. Oh, my
Katie?
Goodness. Yes? Oh, good. I am.
Were you hearing Loretta?
Oh, good. Loretta. Then yes. Maybe we'll come back to the others. I was thinking, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm going to have
to phone
back.
Well, two of the things that I was just kind of in my mind going through, and that has to do with clothing and with food. The clothing thing is I very seldom buy clothing for myself. And
yeah.
I know that. I mean, I kind of have a little bit of pride around the fact that I've had something like for 25 years and I'm still wearing it. But the thing about it, it's connected with a lack of confidence in me in terms of what it is that I really look good in and what I really want to wear. And I remember when I was growing up, The memory of not having a lot of really nice clothes was very clear. I don't know where we got the clothes. I never remember shopping for them, so they probably came from...
Right.
You know, in those days, it was probably, you know, you went to some place and they hand you a bag of clothes. I'm sure I did, but I remember in high school, I had my first job when I was like 15, and I got my first bit of money, and I went down to the store, and I got this poodle skirt. I don't know if you remember those back in the 50s, but... And I just thought I looked so good in it. I just loved it. And no one else liked it. My parents thought I was wasting money. And none of my friends were really impressed. And I got a sense that I didn't have, when you talk about, you know, it's kind of vain to spend money on clothes and makeup and things like that. I got a sense that my parents thought I wasted the money. You know, my first paycheck blown on this outfit. And of course, you know, I mean, I entered the convent, so I had no worry after that in my teen years. I never developed a fashion sense. But what I'm aware of is that there's a connection between my hesitancy to spend money on clothing and my sense of I don't know what really looks good on me. Sometimes I bought things and I thought, boy, they really look good. And I look later and I go, it's a connection. I think there's something for me just to be aware of. The food piece is like, if anything happened and I had like $50 left to my name, I'd probably go out and eat.
Yeah.
I never
did the same thing.
You know, it wasn't part of my growing up. It wasn't part of my life for many, many, many decades. And I mean, it's like, I have no problem spending money on going out to eat, but I have a lot of guilt after I've done it. You know, it's kind of like, I look at because I do keep track of my monthly expenses, and I look at the amount of money that I have spent eating out, and I go, God, you say you don't have any money for this, you know? We talk about the ballet, you know, I don't have no money to go to the ballet, but I love that piece about buying a book about a play or going to a play, you know? I think that's probably a place that I overspend, and I think it's comfort. I think it's a sense of a power, you know, you just go out and somebody else fixes the meal and, you know, there's something social, there's something very comforting about going out to eat. So those two insights with the clothing and then with the eating out are something I think it's good for me to pay attention to.
Wonderful, and maybe we can do a little bit of, I mean, some of the things, like, we don't want to change, you know, maybe you don't want to change the food thing, because it's a good thing that you're eating sufficiently and well, and that, you know, that you enjoy going out, and it gets to a point, I mean, there's a bit of, how would you say it? A little bit of distortion in the line when you were talking about food, so I'm not sure if I caught the last bit as to whether it's a bad thing or, you know, or whether maybe just you might overspend there when you could do something else.
It has to do with when I look back and see how much I've spent, I feel a guilt.
I'm sorry, just a second. Let me just ask, are other people hearing a distortion with Loretta? Because it's actually going, like, it's very weird. We're supposed to be out of Mercury retrograde by now. Oh, Trina? I'm not hearing Trina. Holy moly. Okay, you know what I'm going to do? And people might just want to keep talking to each other. I'm going to re-phone in and just hope that I get better results because right now I'm not here. Actually, Loretta, talk again, so see if I even hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, much better.
Denise just blew out the voice, the microphone, so maybe that helps.
Yeah, because it started out well and then it went terrible. And then Trina is talking, but I can't hear. I mean, I see her talking on the system.
Well, actually,
Trina, now I can hear you.
Well, the machine threw me off, and so I called back in.
Oh, good. Okay. So we're good to go. And I see somebody else has arrived on the call, so can you might want to. Oh, hi, Alex. You get here for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Great. Because I know you're pretty well having to leave in a few minutes.
Oh, actually, my appointment got canceled.
Oh, yay. I mean, not yay, but
yeah.
Oh, yay for us.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So here we go. So just, Loretta, for you to just say about the food thing, because I didn't quite catch the end of it as to what was – I heard that you didn't have any hesitancy around food, and then there was something about the restaurant. So maybe if you could repeat a little bit of it, that would be great.
Well, what I noticed is when I do the monthly accounting that I spend a lot of money and easily on eating out.
Okay.
And the reality is, I mean, I get very good food at home, you know, and oftentimes Denise does the cooking and it's delicious. I have no problem at all spending money on organic food. That's not a problem at all. But what my noticing is that my inclination is to go out and eat and spend money, even when I say I don't have money. And yet after I've done it, when I look at the monthly accounting and I see this whole long list of, I mean, it's not expensive eating. It's just, you know, you go here for this and here for that. And I get a sense of guilt. And I don't think I overspend eating out, but no matter how much I spend eating out, there's a certain amount of guilt attached to it. So.
Oh, okay. And do you have any idea why you go out to eat when you really enjoy and have good stuff at home?
I think it's a sense of freedom, a sense of like a social. I love, there's some restaurants nearby that I really love to be at, especially if we eat at the patio. It's kind of an ambiance that it's a freedom. I feel like, oh, good, we get out of the house and go eat somewhere, you know. It's not about the quality of food, because sometimes where we might go, the quality isn't as good as what we get at home. But it's the freedom. That's the only thing I can think of. But I'll pay attention to it, watch myself. It's kind of like, oh, I've been working hard all day, or I've been doing this, and I've been here at the farm, and, oh, good, let's get out, let's go. But I knew this is not new to me. This is something I noticed I've noticed along the way. And I think it's probably related to the fact that for years as a child and then as an adult and a young adult and an older adult, I didn't have that opportunity. So it's kind of it's a treat. And I, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, it's interesting to see what we treat ourselves with.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's wrong or right. It's just when we, as we increase our income, change things. But generally, actually, even if we do change our income, we can't have the same pattern.
Exactly.
It's kind of like it's good to change the pattern so that whatever income we have, there's a balance there. So great noticing, and maybe with the clearings will be, some of it will come up, and you can focus on those two things, the sense of guilt, which isn't helpful. Around eating out, and also just maybe wanting to be able to balance it more with other things that you've been saying that you can't afford. So great noticing, Loretta. And anybody else want to say something about this or other things that have come up in the meantime?
Katie. It's
Shelley. Hi, Shelley.
One thing I was noticing, I was mentioning to you the other day, that we had quite a onset of winter. And in the spring and in the winter, I tend to change my closet. I get very cold, so out come the turtlenecks and the sweaters and what have you.
Yeah.
And so I noticed this time when I was putting winter clothes in my closet and taking the summer ones out, how much I hate my clothing. And I realized that's an area that I definitely scrimp on. we don't have a lot of extra money, and I don't need more clothes, but I would love to have something, you know, pretty or nice to wear, mm-hmm. or something new. You know, the 25-year-old clothes is not a new thing in my closet either. And not that I have a sense of pride in that, but I just feel there's a lot attached to that. That I, when I go and I buy something new, I have a sense of I deserve this, and
okay.
I struggle with that. What do you mean you deserve it? You know, that's not. I don't like that term. I don't feel that I want to have things because I deserve it. That's a false thing for me. So I struggle with the clothing aspect. And the other part of that is that my body has changed in the last few years. I'm packing weight on, and I don't look the same. I don't feel the same. And it's getting, as I age, harder to get rid of. So when I think of buying new clothes, the first thought that pops in my head is, well, I have to lose 20 pounds first, and then I will feel good in the clothes I buy. So there's a whole bunch of stuff tied up in that as well.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. That's something I've dealt with too, you know. I'm not going to buy it until I do this. Or keeping ones which are way too skinny from another era and thinking I will, you know, lose weight to get in them. And occasionally I have, but it's also like there's a thing of looking at them all the time and getting this kind of guilt feeling or not feeling good. So it's not necessarily good to have that kind of stuff in your closet either.
Right.
So, well, thank you for sharing that. And anybody else want to share around clothes or other things that they spend on or don't spend on? Or anything else that's come up through the money marathon that needs further clearing? Or will...
Katie?
Yes?
This is Denise.
Hi.
I don't have any real sharing at this point other than to say that one category that you didn't have on your list was medical. Or,
oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And that would be
or
a
health.
Big thing in the States. Yeah, medical and health, yeah. And... good. Yeah, that should be back in there. I actually do have it in my budget, but it's and I think the medical thing for Canadians is like we get most of our medical stuff covered by the government, and depending on which province you're in, I think. You know, I've never, at least for a long time, paid even health, you know, for the health insurance. But definitely for alternative health is an area where, you know, for example, I think I could spend more money on some of it rather than just when it really, I do spend on alternative health courses. But to actually go in for acupuncture treatments or all the different kinds, I'm more hesitant. So that's an area that people can look at and see where they spend. So thank you. And anything else? Okay. So what I'm going to do is, unless anybody says something, for the moment I'm just going to go with what people have brought up, and then maybe that'll spark other stuff, or we'll, you know, go on to another issue. just a question, actually. How many people on this call find it easy to spend on education?
This is Denise. I do. Easy.
Yeah. Okay. And anybody else?
This is Loretta. I really don't, unless it's some kind of book or I think it might be age-related. Not that I think I've learned everything, but I don't think I feel the need to, you know, invest programs and things like that at this point.
Great. And anybody else?
Yeah, Shelley, I used to. I spent a ton of money on courses and books and what have you. And the same, I don't feel the need anymore to do that.
Right. Okay. And that's a good noticing. And this isn't to encourage false needs. And because, over time we're going to be changing what we feel like doing with it. Anybody else want to share? Okay. Right. So here we go. So I'll go with what's here. And I'll just put this on lecture. And okay, here. So even though there are some areas in my life that I won't spend on and other areas that I spend too much on, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I won't spend much on some things and will spend way too much on others, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I'm unbalanced with my spending, I deeply love and accept myself. Unbalanced. It's not just a question of bank balance. It's a question of how the balance, it balances with my life, with what I want, with my life stage. It's not just a question of the bank balance, of debts, of how much money is in the bank. It's a question of life balance. What kind of life do I want? What kind of life do I want? Do I want to be Cinderella in her rags? Do I want to feel good in my clothes, which might not be another person's taste? Do I want to feel good? Do I want to feel good? Do I want to dress as my mom and my friends want me to dress? Or my dad? Do I? How do I want to dress? How is dressing... Not dressing for success, although I want success, but dressing for me, for my personality coming out more, for me feeling good. How about dressing and spending on stuff that makes me feel good? And how about spending in general on things that make me feel good? What about that being the question? How much does this really fill me? How much will this fill me? Not just for a few minutes or a few seconds in an addictive type of spending, not like that, but what will give me pleasure? Pleasure. Not supposed to have pleasure. The old Puritan work ethic, the old Puritan ethics about how life should be. Pleasure being evil. Pleasure being not something that I should have. What about I spend things and I look at my bank balance as to how much balance there is, how much joy there is in what I spend? And how about I give up the guilt? Guilt? Give up guilt? Give up guilt? What a silly notion. How could I ever give up guilt? How could I give up guilt? What a silly notion. How could I give up guilt? After all, guilt controls me. After all, guilt controls me, and I need control, especially around money. I need control, and guilt controls me. Okay. just open up the lines and see if there's anything coming out of that. Just a minute. I think I didn't continue to mute you. Okay, anybody have anything coming from that? Hello. I'm seeing
Hi,
some
Katie.
People. Yes? Hi.
It's Alex. Yeah, I think the guilt part really resonated for me. It's interesting. It reminded me of what Katrina said during, not today, but way back during the Money Marathon about, like, how she'll deny herself and deny herself, and then she'll just, like, splurge or, you know, because she deserves it. And I feel like I still kind of have that pattern. Like, I'll deny myself and then notice that I'm doing it. If I don't notice, then it'll come out with some kind of a splurge, you know. But like nothing like it was in the past, but still that feeling of like denial and guilt, and then afterwards feeling guilty. So I've been just trying to work with that and make it more like enjoying little treats along the way, and then not feeling like I need to have that big, like, just burst or explosion.
Yeah. And just a question there, Alex. Does it feel like, 'cause sometimes the splurge can be our way of trying to give us love or other things. Is there anything there that you notice, like, is when you do splurge?
Yeah, I think it's definitely when I'm not, you know, filling my own cup every day with nourishing myself, then it seems like it wants to come, obviously, from outside, and then,
right.
You know, yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you. So, yeah, and the denial and the guilt, denial part is also important. So thank you for introducing that. Anybody else? Okay.
Maybe
and
not
yes?
new, but I'm really very aware of that whole pattern that we're just talking about, and that is, you know, I work hard. I deserve a break. For me, I go out and eat. But no, it's something, you know, I do something for myself that involves spending money, and then it's like once I've enjoyed it, I go, oh, I shouldn't have. I could have used the money for this or that. So it's just an interesting, and then it's right back to then I spent money, so now I have to work. Then I need to treat. So it's
right.
Just noticing it. I'm not at all, you know, concerned because it's been there all this time, but it's just I'm noticing it at a different level, and I appreciate that.
Okay, wonderful. And is there anybody who feels that there's something in their spending that's still out of control, like in a way that they still feel like, oh, my God? I know that's a risky question, but if anybody had that, you know, it would be a good time to kind of deal with it. Yeah. I know for a long time, but I think I'm mostly over that. I whenever I would get insecure about my business, I would go and I would spend on something in the internet, you know, like of how to, you know, let's say a learning product to do with my business. And of course, I wouldn't have time to actually do all the stuff that was in these courses. But that was very much a trend. Whenever I got really panicky, instead of kind of looking to keep my money, I would go and spend it on something that was supposed to help me, and that was an addictive pattern. And I do believe I've basically more or less cured it, not totally, but is there anybody who feels like they have something in their life that they just, and it can be a minor addiction that they would like to put into the pot? Okay, so, well, we've got about 10 more minutes, so I could do a further thing on guilt, and then we can do a a clearing with the healing codes about these things. But I'm just wondering if there's, I think I'll be bringing in other issues, but are there other issues that people would like to deal with at our next call or things that they really want to deepen with, just so that I feel like I'm going on the right tracks for you? We kind of took a lot from, like, the Money Marathon dealt with a lot of things, but I'm feeling that, we can go further with a lot of those issues, and would kind of like to know more what people would like to work on. So if anybody would like to say something around that for future calls, and then we'll just do the end clearings here.
Katie, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure whether, because a couple of times the robot came on and started saying that my input was invalid, so I wasn't sure whether you heard me say that I was noticing that I have some sort of safety comfort zone around having no money at all, because I don't have to make any decisions. I don't have to worry about spending it wrong because I don't have any.
Right. We didn't hear you. Your robot, I noticed you were talking a few times and we couldn't hear you. But okay,
yeah,
so please tell me a bit more.
I said all of that and I got that input was invalid and I went, whoa. it's sort of like, been down so long it looks like up to me or something. I mean, I just get broker and broker rather than. And there's sort of almost a fear of ever getting out of being totally without any resources, because then I would have to make some decisions about what debts to pay first or how to do it right this time or I used to spend money on books. I used to spend money, if it was for my business, for computers and stuff, but not much permission on spending money for advice. I mean, even the hundreds of thousands of dollars, well, it wasn't really that much, but it was a lot that I paid for my master's degree. I went there and I didn't want to hear what they had to say because I was smarter than them or something. But there was that little thing going on in the background. It's like, you didn't need to have spent money on that. You knew that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, thank you for bringing that in. And yeah, having warm income does mean we have to make decisions about where it goes. And good noticing. Anything else from people before we go into our final clearings? Okay.
Did it to me again.
Oh. Huh?
I said it did it to me again. It threw me off.
Oh, dear. So you had another thing you were saying?
No, I guess that was a signal from the universe that I said enough.
Oh, well, I don't know, but if you don't have anything that really strikes you, then we'll see if anybody else has anything further that they want to deal with either this time or next time. And Trina, we might come back to part of your stuff next time.
Katie, it's Loretta.
Yeah. Yeah, Loretta.
I don't know how to put this. I'll say it the best I can. A sense of powerlessness around ever getting more money. I mean, I know I open myself up to the universe and allow the abundance to flow, but most of the time people think, well, if I do this, then I'll earn this, or if I do this, money will come to me. And, I mean, some things have happened, and I've gotten more money. It's kind of good because I've been able to do things I've wanted to do. But I feel kind of powerless around being able to have more money. I have a sense that,
you know, I have this income, it's limited, and this is what I need to live with. And so how do I like that idea of balancing how I spend on what and still and having more for another thing if I spend less. But there's a part of me that feels real powerless that I will never, ever have more than I have now. And
okay.
I just want to put that out there if there's any kind of, you know, way
yeah,
to
talk about.
Yeah, that's
a great one.
Yeah.
And it's not a great one to have, but it's a great one to work on. So probably, actually, that's something I think I'd like to deal. We'll see what comes up in the last clearing. But that's something I would like to deal with in a whole session, you know, like a big part of a session.
That'd be great.
Because actually that really is, can we ever change our history? Like, what's the past?
Right.
And, you know, can we get to the next level of whatever? Can we let in more abundance than what we're used to? And I think
right.
that's probably an issue for a lot of us, maybe at different levels, but definitely there. Yeah. So thank you. Anything else or we'll go ahead? Okay. And, right. Okay. So I'm just going to... do a final clearing, and we'll go here and see what comes up from what people have said. Here we go. Somehow, okay. Actually, Loretta, I'm coming into Loretta's one. Seems to be a, you know, hot issue, so we'll deal with it. And maybe the other ones will come another time, but even though I don't have any faith that it's ever going to get better for me, I deeply love and accept myself, even though I feel like I'm never going to change the patterns I already have. I deeply love and accept myself, even though I feel like I'm never really going to change the patterns that I have. I deeply love and accept myself. I don't know if I can change all this. I mean, after all, I've been with it for years and years and years. Like actually having new clothes when 25 years have passed with the same stuff, am I really capable of breaking with all that? Am I really capable of having a new life? Am I really capable of going to the next level? Because I've been at this level for so long or worse, or I've been at this level for so long. What would happen if I actually went to the next level? What kinds of decisions would I have to make? What kinds of things would I have to do that would be outside my comfortable zone, my comfortable zone, my comfortable zone? I don't know if I really ever can get to the next level. I don't know. Doesn't feel good. Feels very anxiety producing. I mean, after all, I have to risk. I have to risk some things. I have to do things I haven't done. Sometimes I even have to spend money that I haven't spent before. I have to spend money. I have to spend money. I have to risk things. I have to spend money differently. I have to spend money differently. That's really, really scary, spending money differently for different things to produce different results. What if it doesn't work? What if nothing ever works? What if nothing more comes in? What if I can't get more from the universe? What if I've got my share from the universe and it's not going to give me any more? No more. You got your share. You got more than 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 your share. So we're not going to give you any more. What's that for an abundant universe? What's that for abundant universe? Your share. No more, no more, no more, no more, no more than your share. Okay, I'm going to go right into the healing codes from this. I pray requests that all known and unknown issues, negative images, and unhealthy beliefs and destructive cellular memories, and all those resulting physical issues related to how I spend and how much I'm able to attract, be found, opened, and healed, help filling me with the love, life, and light of the divine. I also ask that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more. Okay, so we're focusing the energy of the hands in between the eyebrows. And we can have the positive focus of my life is balanced and abundant. And then down to the throat area. I'm repeating old patterns to see the old patterns, to get out of the old patterns. I'm repeating old patterns to see the old patterns, to get out of the old patterns. I'm repeating old patterns to get out of the old patterns, to get rid of my parents and my patterns. Okay, side of the jaw, pointing the energy there. What if new things could come in? What if I can allow myself new clothes, new experiences, new ways of being abundant? What if that's becoming easy for me? Unraveling, unraveling, unraveling. Okay, and then the side of the temples. And then in between the eyebrows. Letting go of guilt, bringing in pleasure, letting go of guilt, bringing in pleasure. Down to the throat. Letting go of fear of failure. Letting go of fear of failure. Of fear of making the wrong decisions. Side of the jaws. and then the side of the temples. And then the hands on top of the head. And then opening your eyes and just resting on something beautiful in the environment. And just to say that a lot of us have been going through really deep processes of shifting and of coming into new decisions that are kind of fearful. And so there's some anxiety, and there's, I know with quite a few people, there's been, with the shift, there's been some really good things and coming up and real openings that are happening. And at the same time, there's other things that are happening at the same, where there are days where it seems like it might be just the same old patterns. So it's like knowing that both of these, as you're going through a transition, both of these things will be there. And it's just moving through it as gracefully as we can. And, yes, and is with as much self-care as we can. So I'm going to just take it off mute, and people can say final words, and then we'll just say goodbye. So just a minute, I'm going to actually allow you to, if anybody has anything further, and we can always take up some of this later too. Anything else, or coming out of that? Usually the healing codes leads most people in a state of relaxation. So I don't hear anybody. So I think we will end the call and just say goodbye. And thank you so much for coming on the call. And I look forward to future calls and just working with you both privately and together on this, on these issues. And this Saturday we'll be having another clearing where we can go further into some of the things around being powerless, around having more money, and also we'll be having the Get It Done Day. And another thing that is coming up is that I've arranged the call with Michelle Talker on about the power of fairy tales, and it'll be next Wednesday at my Creativity Cafe, and I'll be sending out a link for that pretty soon, like in the next day or two. So, goodbye, everybody. And
thank you.
Bye,
take Katie.
Care. Bye.
Thank you. That was great.
Oh, good. Thank you. And have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Katie.
Yeah. Bye.